from NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Kansel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Big show for everybody today. Scottish actor and comedian Billy Connolly will come on later to play Not My Job. Let us marvel at his brogue. But first, got to do this, a complaint. People magazine has announced the 100 most beautiful people in the world issue for 2006. Once again, we were overlooked.
Oh.
Now, I wasn't going to say anything, but we were led to believe by certain parties high up at the magazine that this was our year. And it's not about me. I know my beauty is inside. It's for Carl. I thought about this. The problem is, we're on the radio. Nobody can see him. But we don't need People Magazine's approval. We just need you to call in, play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andrew Bain from Boulder, Colorado.
Hey, Andrew, what do you do there in beautiful Boulder?
I'm a student here.
And then what are you studying?
Computer sciences.
I think the moment for that is past. No, really. I mean, you know, all the jobs have been taken. You should be doing something more appropriate for the future, like, I don't know, rooting for grubs in the post-apocalyptic wasteland. That's my prediction of what the growth.
Everybody's got to have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
Here,
right? Well, welcome to our show, Andrew.
All right.
Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a journalist for the Boston Globe, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Howdy.
Hi, Andrew.
And say hello to journalist Sue Ellicott.
Hello there. Actually, Andrew, I didn't know that there were multiple sciences for the computer. I'm still stuck thinking there's one.
I mean, you know, I think I've been lied to all these years.
And also say hello to writer, performer, and the author of the new book, Schrodinger's Ball, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hey, Andrew.
How's it going?
Good. I was a computer science major during my first year of college.
You were smarter than I am.
I was. Of course, back then, computers were powered with parakeets or something.
Andrew, welcome to our show. Now, we're going to start the show this week by playing a new game called Carl Castle's Wayback Machine. Just this morning, Carl put his stainless steel travel mug into the microwave, and the resulting explosion disrupted the space-time continuum. So, it's true, it's what happened. So you're going to hear quotes from the past that strangely became relevant this week. Your job, tell us whose words are now coming back to haunt them, or why, 2 times out of 3. You ready to play?
All right, let's do this.
All right, your first blast from the past is actually 3 quotes.
George Bush has become something of an embarrassment.
And?
Bush has given the impression that he is more eager to please than lead.
And?
No president has looked this impotent this long when it comes to defending presidential powers and prerogatives.
Now, that was pundit Tony Snow. He was giving President Bush the back of his hand in 2005. Well, Mr. Snow just got a new job as the official spokesman for whom?
He's the head of the press, isn't he? Or the White House?
Yes, exactly, the White House. President Bush.
Yep.
Now, those critical quotes got a lot of play this week, making it seem as if President Bush had taken the bold step of actually hiring someone who disagrees with his policies. You may laugh. And, well, you should. Because
well, it's a heck of a lot easier than finding someone who doesn't.
Snow, of course, we should point out, has only criticized the president for not pursuing his policies far enough. As in his well-known 2004 column, Mr. President, if God didn't want you to nuke the Middle East back to the Jurassic, he wouldn't have given you those missiles.
Wow.
Yeah.
For real?
No, I made that up.
Okay. Plausible.
Political observers say it will be an improvement because instead of Scott McClellan, who could only repeat the administration's misleading talking points, now reporters will be briefed by a man independent enough to make up his own. Charlie, I know that you've been critical of Mr. McClellan. Yes, you, sir. Do you think that Tony Snow, I mean, he is obviously a very articulate, smart guy, experienced in government, and knows the press corps. Don't you think that'll be an improvement for everybody?
Do you think he's changed jobs? He was an anchor at Fox News, and now he's the White House spokesman. Is he even changing desks? I mean, does he even bother have to, like, pack up some boxes and move this
Charlie,
stuff?
It's not fair. It's a different logo.
I mean, come on.
That's right. It's reversible.
He probably took a pay cut.
Yes, he did, in fact. He actually mentioned that. I'm taking a massive pay cut to do this. But that's the kind of patriot he is. My feeling is that people didn't like McClellan, not so much that he lied all the time, because that's what you expect them to do.
Right.
All of them, for any administration. But he did it so badly.
Yeah.
And I think that people were professionally offended. I think there's a sense of, come now.
People had grown used to the smooth, self-hating aplomb of an Ari Fleischer.
Exactly.
And then they got McClellan.
Yeah, who was
Mr. Flopsweat.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on. Andrew, you still with us?
Still with you.
All right.
Amazing. Remarkable.
Andrew, here we go. A temporal wormhole has just opened up, and through it we hear your next quote, this one echoing up from 2001.
There are no accounting issues, no trading issues, no reserve issues, no previously unknown problem issues. The company is probably in the strongest and best shape it's ever been in.
So 5 years ago, that man was really optimistic. This week, he's on trial. Mainly because, guess what? His company was not quite in the best shape it had ever been in. Who is it?
Kenneth Lay.
Kenneth Lay, very good, yes. Ever since Enron collapsed pretty much right after Mr. Lay made that statement back in 2001, he has portrayed himself as a bit of a sad sack, a poor, gullible guy who was taken in by his rapacious criminal underlings. But then he took the stand this week.
Yeah, apparently he cracked like an egg, right?
Yeah. It wasn't quite like, you know, Commander Queeg on the stand.
Right.
But he did get kind of angry, and he started whining about how everybody is mean to him, and he had to sell his ski condo in Aspen. True. He did say, though, that he had, quote, lived the American dream.
And a lot of other people's American dreams.
Exactly. The audience, it were just civilians from Houston who wanted to see the trial of this guy, and they all erupted into laughter.
Yeah. That couldn't have been a good moment for Kay.
No, because the thing is, although he has, of course, gotten really rich on the backs of others, he hasn't yet completed the second, more important part of the American dream, getting away with it.
Right.
Or hosting the reality TV show.
No.
Right, that's the comeback.
That's
the comeback,
going to come after the trial, I think.
Right.
All right, Andrew, Carl has one more quote that's echoing down the years, this one from the editors of the National Review, writing in early 2003.
The price of oil might drop to $20 per barrel or less, giving us the equivalent of an annual tax cut of about $120 billion per year. And this is a tax cut the entire world benefits from.
That was just one of the many happy predictions in the spring of 2003 that what would really help lower gas prices.
I'm going to get the war in Iraq.
Yes, you're right. Among the many, many good reasons we had to invade Iraq was that the invasion would result in oil prices so low that we'd all be buying a third SUV just to have an extra to match our fall wardrobe. This week, of course, with oil prices at the highest they have ever been and gas at about $3 a gallon, the president himself announced a program to help lower gas prices. His proposal? Invade Canada and take away their cars, leaving more gas for us. Carl, how did Andrew do in our quiz?
Andrew did very well, Peter. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on his home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Andrew.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.